With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're doing great. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live and direct every single day from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. Well, you get there, unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. It's the way the tire buying should be. Welcome in. So, the draft is happening. Right? It is happening. And there's a lot of different teams to talk about. You know, I'm sitting next to my son. We're driving to basketball practice last night. And he's like, ugh, we took Joe Alt. And I was like, by we, you mean the Chargers? Yeah, dude. Why didn't we take a wide receiver? We get rid of Mike Williams. We get rid of Keenan Allen. Right. Didn't your son say the same thing there, Jason Stewart? Essentially the same thing?
Affirmative.
Yeah. And that's what the kids are saying, right? And I was like, dude, if you haven't figured out what they're doing in with the Chargers, with Harbaugh Ball, then let me let you in on a little secret, okay? He brings in Greg Roman, who's, I believe, the last three offenses he touched in the NFL. Were the Ravens, which, yes, I know they topped out and everybody blamed Greg Roman, but Lamar Jackson was the MVP. The Buffalo Bills, when Tyrod Taylor was their quarterback and they went to the playoffs first time in like 13 years, I think Greg Roman was the OC. And, of course, the San Francisco 49ers when they went to the Super Bowl with Jim Harbaugh as the coach. Like, look, they brought in his two favorite running backs and They said, hey, we're going to run the football and we're going to protect our primary asset. The asinine comments over people going like, hey, will they trade their quarterback? Like, if you think for a second they're going to trade their quarterback, you haven't talked to anybody in the Chargers organization. So they think they have their quarterback. They want to protect their quarterback and run the football, and they'll figure the rest out over the rest of the draft and getting them some wide receivers. But I thought the most interesting one was what happened at number 8. Okay, Michael Penix, who is kind of a medical miracle, right? He's had multiple knee surgeries, and yet he ran a 4.5. Got a cannon for an arm. He is left-handed. I've seen all the memes with dogs in Atlanta when a left-handed Michael was drafted at quarterback. Great memes. Great work, social media world out there. You're awesome. You're awesome. But I got to point out what has happened here in Atlanta. Hey, okay? So, again, I'm not a huge Falcons fan. And I do on some level understand, hey, man, you got a chance. You got a chance to draft a quarterback of the future. who's sitting there at eight, and you have Kirk Cousins, who's 36 years old, coming off an Achilles tendon tear. There's a world there where Kirk Cousins plays 2 years, and then Michael Penix takes over, kind of like Jordan Love in Green Bay. And it's seamless, and you're actually good for a long time. That's great. That's great. And by many people's estimation, the roster is pretty good. They just needed a quarterback. They just needed a plan. And now they have one. But man, Terry, remember, this is Terry Fontenot, the dude who apparently what happened was Bill Belichick was going to be hired as head coach, and the front office is like, nah, we don't want to work with that guy. Okay, well, this is the same front office that drafted Kyle Pitts at four. And then Richie Grant in the second round. And then they drafted the next year Drake London. Hey, who's been okay? But they drafted Drake London at eight. Last year, Bijan Robinson, who I love Bijan Robinson. I think he's got a chance to be really, really good. At four in the draft? Ooh. Some pretty good players that were still available. So the point is, right, the point is that when we look at, for example, the Chargers, okay, you can see a plan in place that makes sense, right? Does anyone dispute what the Chargers are doing? And I'm only using the Chargers as a jumping off. Does anybody dispute what they know what they're doing? Right? You have arguably or inarguably, maybe the best left tackle in football. Now you drafted Alt, who I think is going to play right tackle. You got your bookends. You start from there. They got good running backs. They just brought in. They know the system. They got a quarterback. Like, they're good. I would guess that with a wide receiver heavy draft, you'll see some wide receivers taken, and they got to change their defense to mirror how they want to play under Harbaugh, and that'll be a work in progress. But what worked for Harbaugh, what worked for his brother in Baltimore, what worked for Harbaugh in San Francisco, what worked for Harbaugh in Michigan, what worked for Harbaugh at Stanford is likely the plan. And Joe Alt fits that plan, correct? Okay, what's the plan in Atlanta? Right, you go get Kirk Cousins because you want to win now. You draft a quarterback at eight because you want to play him in 3 years. And I understand in 3 years, Michael Penix's contract will not hurt you at all. The middle of that rookie deal, 3 years, 3 years, four, won't hurt you at all. But wow, what a risk. Wow, what a risk. You know? And, you know, they took Bijan Robinson, who has no skeletons in the closet, right? And passed on Jalen Carter, but man, does Jalen Carter have a ton of talent. You know? So I'm just sitting here going, in and of itself, I don't hate it. Drafting a quarterback because you have a quarterback who's 36 years old coming off an Achilles tendon. But when you factor in that these same guys have drafted poorly atop the draft the past couple of years, and again, I'm admitting I love Bijan Robinson. I'm a Bijan Robinson fan. And people have said, you're okay drafting a running back in the first round. Just don't re-sign him at the top of the market deal. And we'll see if Atlanta does that. All right. But four is really high for a running back, no matter how good he is. Especially when you didn't have a quarterback last year. All right. And then you go sign the bell of the ball in Kirk Cousins and you draft his eventual replacement? That is bizarre planning from Terry Fontenot. Here's Terry Fontenot explaining the logic behind their pick.
Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. You look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about the future. We're very excited about where Kirk is. We feel very confident in him and everything he's gonna do for us. Again, we're thinking more long term with this. So very, very excited about Kirk. That has not changed. This is a pick thinking about the future.
Yeah, and I'm sure the first call he got after he hung up the phone was from Kirk Cousins saying "Whiskey Tango Foxtrot," right? Because they've said, essentially what the Packers said to Aaron Rodgers. And it's not crazy talk, right? Not crazy talk. Hey, dude, you're 36. It's 2 years guaranteed. And if you keep playing great, that's awesome. We'll figure out the Penix thing then. In the meantime, we have your eventual successor because everybody ages out of this thing. The problem with it is you're going to take a developmental quarterback who's 25 years old at 8 in the draft when he's not going to play for 2 years? And you didn't even clear it with Cousins, and it doesn't seem to marry with the we want to win now sort of thing. Like, look, if you got dudes for days, if you just have a stack roster and you're like, ah, let's just grab and stash a quarterback not playing for 2 years, by all means. But I don't think that's what this roster looks like. So, look, many of these guys we won't know, and we still won't know a year in. And we definitely don't know after one round of the draft, because while teams have passed on wide receivers in the first round, there's plenty to take in the second round. We've seen that from the Packers years in the past. Like, hey, dude, we'll be fine. We'll take guys in the second, third round. So we'll see. We'll be able to pinpoint what a team's focus is watching them. Like for the Raiders, you guys know I love the Brock Bowers pick. I thought he's the best player in the SEC. And I understand they need a quarterback. But because the quarterbacks that they wanted were gone, they went with the best player. And he's nasty. I mean, he's nasty. And how about that division with the two tight ends? I mean, he could be the next Kelsey. That he's that good a football player. So every team's story is different unto itself. Not every team, believe it or not, is competing for a championship this year. But you have to have congruent draft picks, just like you have to have congruent offense and defense. Does that make sense? Right? You can't have, you know, for example, if you're going to have a super physical offense, you got to have a super physical defense. One in which, like, again, one in which is built. If you're going to have the Ravens style offense, you got to have the Ravens style of defense. You know, whereas I think Kansas City style, I think it marries with how they play offensively. But it also takes place with everything in an organization. Congruency. It has to work all together. And the reason the alt pick, I use that one, is it works all together with what the Chargers have been doing in the offseason, which is dismantling the previous way it was built and reconfiguring it into a power offense that runs the football, that protects their quarterback, that runs play action so that Justin Herbert has time. He's not under duress, is not injured. Right? Makes sense. Signing Kirk Cousins when you desperately need a quarterback to win and win now makes sense. Made sense to me. Drafting his eventual replacement who won't play for 2 years, drafting a backup for at least 2 years when he's 25 years old, when he's had multiple injuries, but more than anything, when I thought you're in win now mode, that doesn't make sense to me. And you don't have the positive equity from previous drafts. Had you killed it the past couple years in the draft, had everyone been talking about how talented this roster was, they just needed a quarterback and they'll be fine. And then everything else is cake. By all means. Right? That's, by the way, where Tampa was when they added Tom Brady. Everybody thought that roster's really good. Just need a quarterback who doesn't turn it over. Just a solid quarterback, doesn't turn it over. Adult in the room, a belief in winning. Couldn't do it with Jameis. Jameis had been there through too many losses, too many missed opportunities, too many turnovers. I got it. That all made sense. Arian's not really a detail guy. He brought in Brady. Brady handled all the details with the offense. That makes sense. You can go back and pull the tape. I was working at Fox Sports Radio at the time when they drafted Jordan Love. I said that made sense. Because it was late in the first round, they're never going to get to move up to draft. And if you actually talk to anybody in the NFL, they all said he's like 2-3 years away. Got a chance to be good, got to be coached well. And I don't know if Jordan Love is as good as he looked at times last year, but so far the plan has worked seamlessly. What's the plan here in Atlanta? That's the issue. And then you factor in that supposedly Belichick had the job, and the reason he didn't get the job was he couldn't jibe with these guys. Maybe he couldn't jibe with these guys because they stink at their job. Is that possible? Remember, the previous answer to their quarterback issues was Marcus, Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. That was the previous plan. Now it's Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. No doubt an upgrade. I like Kirk Cousins, but you paid him $100 million, he's coming off an Achilles, and instead of surrounding him with more talent and getting a viable backup or drafting a developmental quarterback later in the draft, he drafted a 25-year-old who's going to have to play in year three. Give me your thoughts. At Gottlieb Show is the Twitter and Instagram handle. At Gottlieb Show. Byer, how was your draft experience?
Draft experience was great, but can I weigh in on this?
Of course,
on this for the 2 cents.
Of course.
There's a difference though of Aaron Rodgers and having Jordan Love than signing Kirk Cousins and having like you're changing plans in a span of 6 weeks.
Right. Did I not articulate it when I said it made sense? I thought I said it made sense, the Love thing, whereas this one doesn't.
Yeah. I thought that you were saying that, look, the Packers did it, and that's what the Falcons' explanation was for it. It's also just the plain as day of this was their plan. They didn't trade up because Penix fell.
I don't know if it was, though, because they didn't do a visit with him.
No, they did. They flew to Seattle to see him. They had a contingency to Seattle to go and see him.
Okay.
And the spot that you thought that Penix was going to go was 13. And so for them to, if he was going to go anywhere, you felt it was probably to the Raiders, or if Minnesota was going to try to trade
him. I think the Raiders were going to take him.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. And so like there's the sense of not even of like trading down or trading back and trying to maneuver. They felt that he was going to go in the top 13 and that it was beneficial for them to take him at 8, which is, again, free agency was not even 2 months ago. And whether Cousins is healthy or not, if he's not healthy, then don't give him $100 million guaranteed.
Yeah, you're actually doing a better job of making my point, which is, like, again, if we put in the context the actual Aaron Rodgers thing, he was a malcontent who didn't like the new offense, didn't like the new system, didn't have a good season, and started to look older. So they drafted a guy who's a developmental prospect, and it matched up with how long it would take him to develop and how long Aaron Rodgers had on his deal. And the surprise was Aaron Rodgers turned it around and won back-to-back MVPs, right?
Yep.
And so then they made the hard decision, bit the bullet. Aaron was too much. They got rid of Aaron. By the way, just in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally anyone who says anything about the Packers, no matter if Jordan Love tanks or blows up, they got rid of Aaron Rodgers 4 plays before he tore his Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
You cannot get a better trade than that. Hey, and now they have cash galore to spend and they're in a good position. Okay, but that was the context behind the pick, was they had Aaron Rodgers. He looked like he was fading. He looked like he didn't like the new system. So they drafted a guy that in a couple of years could replace him. The difference is, as you're probably pointing out, is like they championed this. Like, hey, we want to win. We want it in now. And we got Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins, conversely, I know coming off the injury, but was coming off an unbelievable season. He was on pace to throw for 6,000 yards. Oh, yeah, by the way, the other thing you do is you just pissed off Kirk Cousins. And I know he's performed well, but I guarantee that Kirk Cousins hung up the phone after MFing his agent up and down, or maybe he didn't MF him because it's Kirk Cousins. Gosh, golly, gee, Willikers, that really stinks, right?
Yes.
But I guarantee he turned to his wife and said, this is just like Washington. Like, dude, he's got PTSD. Okay, he was in Washington, and the damn GM didn't know his first name, kept calling him Kurt when his first name is Kirk. And he's like, these freaking guys, they sign me, they parade me around, they champion me. Matt Ryan retires. That was a big thing. It happened 2 days ago, right? And I think part of that was they wanted to, the Matt Ryan era is over, pass the baton officially to Kirk Cousins. Great. Oh, hey, by the way, we're going to take with the 8th pick in the draft. And he doesn't fit what Jordan Love was. Jordan Love was super young, had only played 2 years in college,
yep,
and was a developmental guy. Penix is not a developmental guy. He's been developed. Does he need to improve? Of course. And it doesn't mean that he's not going to be a good quarterback. It just means these plans don't make any sense. And I use the Chargers because you don't have to, it doesn't have to work, but you can see what their plan is. It's painfully obvious. We're going to kick the crap out of you at the line of scrimmage and run play action. And it doesn't matter as much with our wide receiving talent if you can't stop us from running the football. Anyway. And I'm kind of fired up about the Chargers thing. I kind of want to see him be the bully for once.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Mark Stein in one moment. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. It's live at the TireRack.com studios. Okay, I want to play for you something that LeBron James said last night. Now, keep in mind, the Lakers, once again, big lead in the first half, and D'Angelo Russell stinks, throws out a donut out there, 0 points. I mean, LeBron was disengaged, some bad turnovers, and they get boat raced in the second half, and the Denver Nuggets take a commanding 3-0 lead. This is LeBron James after the game.
And it's just basketball. At the end of the day, it's just basketball.
Listen, and we can play for you the full context of the question and the answer, but, okay, the Lakers used to play in Inglewood. At the Forum. Okay. And Jason knows the answer to this. Dan, I don't think you didn't live here when they played at the Forum. So maybe you don't know this, but you're essentially a transplant Los Angelino, right? Inglewood is known as the City of Champions. And it's known as the City of Champions because the Lakers played there. And it is a Magic Johnson and Kobe Bryant town. And the reason was both of those guys gave you the feeling that, hey, when the house is on fire, you still have Magic. And Kobe Bryant was not the perfect player, was not the perfect person. I'm not going to sit here and sell him to you otherwise. But do you think for 1 second either of those two guys, when a series still had life, would say, it's just basketball?
It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad?
Right? That sounds really good when your kid is 6, 7, and 8, and they're crying after losing a sporting event. And They listen, just run through the tunnel, take your juice box, get a donut, go home and understand it's just basketball. But when you're 39 years old and everything that you have tried to tell us about who you are is about winning championships, and down 3-0, the juxtaposition of Jimmy Butler saying, famously saying, don't let us win a game, and Magic and LeBron James wearing a Laker jersey saying, just basketball. Not great. Mark Stein joins us, ultimate NBA insider. He's got an awesome podcast along with Chris Haynes called This League Uncut. Plus, he publishes a Substack called The Stein Line. Mark, what do you make of LeBron James' comment after the game?
My answer is really going to disappoint you, pal, but I think the context is super important in that clip, because if that was LeBron's answer, if that was his reaction to, LeBron, you guys are down 3-0 now, you're on the brink of getting swept by the Nuggets for the second straight year. If he said it's just basketball to that, then the outrage and the shock would be justified. But if you really go through the whole clip, he was being asked about the Lakers supporting cast members not playing well or not rising up to the moment. And the context of it's just basketball was his way of saying they shouldn't be overwhelmed by the moment, because this is the moment that obviously everybody is playing for. So that was not, to me, that was not LeBron James' reaction to this 3-0 series deficit that the Lakers are facing and the prospect of getting swept out of the first round. So in this case, look, we can, you know, the Lakers, there are a lot of things we can pinpoint and rant about. And, you know, the fact that they've had double-digit leads and haven't been able to hold any of them. The fact that LeBron and Anthony Davis have had such healthy seasons and it hasn't amounted to much.
Yeah.
You know, you can take issue with all those things. But that comment to me is not,
I appreciate and respect it. Let me just read to you a little bit of the context. He says, we know what it takes to win and how blank near perfect you got to be. That's not something that's so crazy to obtain. I've been part of it 4 times where you have to be almost perfect, have almost perfect basketball to win. I don't feel a way about anybody that doesn't want to strive to be as close to perfect as possible. And it's just basketball at the end of the day. It's just basketball.
Like I said, my sense was he was saying that as his teammates should not be overwhelmed by the pressure of the situation because it's just basketball. It was not him saying, again, I could understand your reaction if the question was, LeBron, you guys are down 3-0. You're on the brink of getting swept. This is going to be in your 6 seasons in L.A. 2 times you guys didn't make the playoffs. 2 times a first-round exit. So 4 out of 6 years it went, didn't go beyond the first round. If he said it's just basketball in response to that, then I could understand the dismay. But he was really talking about the pressure that the supporting cast members feel. So that's why I'm not. That comment is about 25th on the list of Laker concerns to me right now.
Okay. I mean, obviously, D'Angelo Russell, I didn't get bringing him back. This is what he looked like in last year's series. This, and I know they tried to bring in Gabe Vincent to replace him, but that didn't work out. I get it, but it doesn't matter. It's the same problem over and over again. Okay, with that in mind, Darvin Ham, Rob Pelinka, which of those two survived this?
Well, look, the pressure is going to be on the Lakers to make some sort of coaching change. I think that, you know, people have been baying for that. And last night, you know, it's interesting. I was covering Mavs Clippers for the first 2 games, and I did attend Laker pregame before hustling away to catch my late flight back to Dallas for game 3 of Mavs Clippers, which is in a matter of hours. So I wasn't in the building, but you know, last night there was a fire Darvin chant during the game, which, you know, I can't remember the last time there was that kind of chant from the home fans towards the Laker coach. So people are, you know, there's going to be a demand for drastic changes, but, you know, this roster is you know, there are clearly holes and shortcomings. And look, I subscribe to the theory. I actually thought that playing Denver early would be the Lakers' best chance to be competitive when LeBron was theoretically at his freshest. But look, this team, the moves in the summer looked very good with limited flexibility. The Lakers won a lot of raves for the moves they made. But, I mean, it just hasn't worked at all. Again, LeBron and AD have had such a healthy season compared to past seasons in L.A. And just the supporting, you know, there's not enough shooting. They thought they had size coming into the season, but they don't have enough size right now to deal with Denver. They have major issues to address, no question.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Mark Stein, who joins us. He writes a Substack called The Stein Line. You got to pick it up and maybe download the podcast, This League Uncut. Okay, you've been covering the Clippers-Mavs series. What do the Clips do with Kawhi Leonard? Because he did not look right the other night.
Totally agree on that one. And I was honestly surprised that they brought him back for game two. When they won game one, and it was such a tough turnaround for game two, I thought the game one win would lead the Clippers to wait till game three, which is tonight, which would have given, you know, several extra days of rest for Kawhi. But they took the other approach that they knew his first game was going to be very rusty. I mean, the guy hasn't seen contact for 3 weeks before he came back Tuesday night, which is just crazy to me. I mean, I don't know many players that would come back with such coming back from knee trouble, a knee that has plagued him for years, and then no contact and immediately ramp up to 40 minutes. I mean, that you don't see that every day. But I think the Clippers' approach clearly was, we know he's going to be rusty. Let's get him through the rust and just think how much fresher and better he will be for game three. But this game tonight is pivotal for the Clippers now because the Mavs got the split in Dallas, and Sunday's game four is an afternoon game. So, I mean, that's almost like a back-to-back now for Kawhi if he's going to play in game four. So the Clippers, the onus is really on them to try to win tonight and regain some control here and know that they're going to get out of here 2-2, because I can't imagine Kawhi is going to feel great on Sunday afternoon with a 2:30 p.m. local tip. I mean, he didn't have his lift, didn't have explosion, short on a lot of shots, and you would expect that again. That was the first time we've seen him on the floor in April. Yeah. So I don't think you could have expected him to just come back and be full speed Kawhi. But, you know, like we always say, the man is a cyborg. He's from another galaxy, and, you know, maybe he's going to bounce back tonight with a much stronger game three. But yeah, I was surprised the other night that he came back so soon, and it didn't go great.
Giannis is out. Any idea when he returns?
Well, it's funny. On the podcast, I asked Chris Haynes that question, my partner, and he's super plugged into Milwaukee. And Chris does think we're going to see Giannis at some point in this first-round series. To me, I think it's crazy for him to come back in this series because, again, a calf injury, not only is it hard to recover fast, not only is there the constant threat of re-aggravating it, but it just can lead to disasters lower down the leg. And it just, like, to rush back, you know, I understand that, you know, he wants to win another championship and time is precious, and they made this huge trade for Damian Lillard, but does Giannis really want to rush back after such a serious, I mean, he was, you know, dropped by this injury on his own side of the court with nobody around him. You remember the clip. So, but, you know, if I think also we know Giannis is just so competitive and wants to play so badly that would it surprise me if we see him at some stage in this round one? It would not.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Mark Stein. Last thing, Steiny. Boston gets heated, right? Miami 23 of 43 from three, but also the zone defense kind of stymied them. And look, I know it felt like a one-off, but that confidence level in Boston has to at least be a little bit shaken, isn't it?
Yeah, it didn't feel like a one-off to me. You know, I actually predicted that that thing would go at least six. And I think without Jimmy Butler, that was seen as kind of a wild or crazy first round prediction. But I just have that much respect for the Heat that I felt like even without Jimmy Butler, they're going to find a way to win two games. But for Boston to endure such a dreadful performance in game two, in the second game of these playoffs, when the reality for them is the season starts now. They had an incredible regular season, but they are one of those teams that's only going to be judged on what happens in the playoffs. Sure. And yes, you can say, okay, Miami made 23 threes. It's three-point variance. There's nothing the Celtics could do. No, I mean, that performance was just not good enough. And now, you know, I suppose you could try to take the optimist view and say, okay, you know, now they're going to get locked in. They're going to get a focus. They realize this is a different season. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how the Celtics respond, because Miami has – that's not the first time that they've lost an important playoff game to the Heat. And, again, with, you know, the Heat really – they really, you know, they're not here to just win a game or two. They actually think they can win this series without Jimmy Butler, even though nobody on the outside does. So that series suddenly got super interesting, where after game one, it looked like it was just going to be a snooze.
Mark Stein joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Mark, you're doing a great job. The podcast is excellent. It's called This League Uncut, along with NBA insider Chris Haynes. Or check out the Substack, and maybe check out the Substack, the Steinline. Steiny, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
All right. Be good.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to a game.
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Byer, what's in the game today?
The game today, Doug, is...
I got dibs.
All right, NBA champions. Now that we're about a week into the NBA playoffs...
I got dibs. Dibs on the Nuggets.
You got dibs on the Nuggets. All right. Doug's got the Nuggets. Anybody else? Anybody else want dibs on Celtics? Thunder?
I don't like any of the other options, because I love the center for the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic.
Why does he have a shoe with Nike?
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Jokic? Is that how you say his name?
Jokic. Nikola Jokic. And then there's Nikola Jovic for the Miami Heat.
Really confusing.
Yes. I'll take dibs on the Mavs. Okay. How about that?
Cool.
All right.
No other dibs? You guys aren't going to take anybody?
Yeah. Everybody wanted the Nuggets.
Moving on.
All right. Pizza crusts. Yes.
I got dibs on thin.
Ooh, dogs. Jeez. I don't even name the options.
It doesn't matter. I want thin.
Yeah,
thin,
gosh.
Thin. I mean, really, it's New York crust, New York style, but it's also thin crust, so.
I disagree, because there's a tavern style pizza.
No, I understand. I'm saying if I had my choice, I don't.
Sure.
Obviously, I didn't know if you were going to list New York style or New Haven style.
I did put like a Brooklyn style on the list.
Have you ever tried New Haven style pizza?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of black on the bottom because it's...
I left off Detroit
style.
It's
in an actual fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got dibs on that New York style, that Brooklyn.
All right.
Brooklyn.
I'll go with New Haven.
I got dibs on Pan.
Oh.
There's no Chicago or Detroit
on
here.
Why are you acting like you could have had dibs on whatever, Dan? You're reading it off.
I know. Well, I'm trying to...
I love Pan pizza.
Trying to traffic cop this game on what was there. But I was going to go...
It's a flaw in the traffic copping.
Yeah, Thin was gone. Then I would have taken Pan. You know what? I don't mind a gluten-free one, to be honest with you. It's actually not too bad.
Cauliflower crust, not bad.
All right, 49ers pass catchers, past or present.
I got Jerry Rice.
Oh, jeez.
Dibs, Jerry Rice.
I got dibs on T.O.
Yeah. I'm going to take dibs on George Kittle, obviously. I like the new guy they picked up last night.
The new guy they picked up.
You know him so well?
Yes. That guy.
I know that guy.
The guy.
All
right, let's go one more. Go one more.
Ricky Pearsall.
Yes, it was. We have got 30 seconds, and we're going to be talking about it next.
No, give me one more. I love this game.
Yeah, well, that's game time. Doug, we got it's literally coming up next.
Okay.
Basically. All the stuff
game, huh?
That we could talk
this
about.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Okay, shortly after the show, download the podcast. That's a big one. Coming up next, we'll talk NFL draft, including your favorite pizzas you ate last night. Your favorite kind of wings. Is this all coming up next? I don't know. You'll find out next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.